Before we go further, we're part Pasuk Vav. Yes, we have a new microphone. Let's see how it goes. Everything is new. New microphone, not the speaker. Okay, so we are up to Pasuk Vav. Perik, Aleph Pasuk Vav, Micha, page 450. We pretty much finished Pasuk Vav, but there's this one. We were in the middle of one Maimer Chazal. The Maimer Chazal, Likutei Shas, page 450, on the bottom. On the bottom, it says, "V'samti Shomrin li'i hasadeh l'matrei kerem." I will set Shomrin as a wasteland. That E is a wasteland. We learn E means like a pile of stones. L'matrei kerem. And the only thing you will be fit for you to use for is to plant the vineyard. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, we just started this yesterday. The scala b'chol zdrus, the scala. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, the scala b'chol, the scala Bavel, the scala shecheinah. When Bavel was cursed, her neighbors were cursed. However, the scala. Niskalala Shaimrain Nisbarhu Shikhaineha, her neighbors were blessed. And Chazal explained. Niskalala Bavel, Niskalalu Shikhaineha, the Ksiv, it says, Visamtil Lemirash Kipoid, I'll make it into an inheritance of a kipoid is a wild animal. Come there later on. That's Yeshaya. The kipoid means like wild animals. The Agme Moiment and the streams of water. Niskalala Shaimrain. Nisbaruchu shecheineha, her neighbors were blessed. The Chassid says in the pasuk, "V'samti shomrin li'i hasadeh," I will make it into a wasteland, but there will be benefit. L'matoei chorem, it will grow, become a vineyard. So this is a very amazing chazal to really understand.
Shomrin will be the matoei.
Correct. Because we learned yesterday that shomrin itself was destroyed. But I guess the surrounding lands or the surrounding environment or even Shomrin itself, it says Shomrin itself. So why is that called the Shecheinah? I guess whoever remained, the people who were exiled. I'm not exactly sure. You're asking a good point. The exact details of how we bring this out of the Pasuk, but the basic idea is certainly correct. The basic idea is that when Bavel was destroyed, it says there that that Bavel turned into a Moirash Kipoid and Agme Moim, a total wasteland of total nothingness. No growth, nothing of benefit whatsoever came forward. Whereas Shomrin, even though the people were no longer there, it was a vineyard. A vineyard is something which is of value, which is productive for a society. So why is that so? What is the difference? The answer obviously is it has something to do with Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Asher Eini Hashem Elokecha Dorish Oysa Mereshis Hashana Ad Achres Shana. Eretz Yisrael in and of itself, even if the people are not living there, is under the special Hashkocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I guess because Hashem is trying to show us that there will be a future. There is something more to come in this land. Bavel is just purely a temporary dwelling place for Klal Yisrael. Our stay in Bavel is over. That's it. There's nothing more to do. We're only here in Bavel. In Bavel, like they always say in the Kabbalistic terminology, is you're here to extract the nitzotzos of Kiddusha. Klal Yisrael, and then going now through the Bein HaMitzar, we come to the Parashiyos Sun of Matas Masei, where we go through all the journeys of Klal Yisrael in the desert, which Chazal make it very clear is just nothing more than Maisei Avos Simin Labanim. It's a blueprint for the journey of Klal Yisrael through Golus. Klal Yisrael at one point in time, it's certain that the center of Judaism had a time in Kemat every country. There was a time where Germany was the center of Judaism. When was that? I mean, you can even say recently. You can say before the war. to a degree before the war. I mean, you argue, was it Poland? Was it Germany? They were different. Each one had its milus. But let's talk about that during the time of the First Crusade. During the time of the First Crusade, certainly Germany, more than France, it would appear, was the center of Judaism. That's where the major yeshivas were located. Rashi went back to France to establish his own yeshivas, but Rashi learned in the Kehilos Shum. Shum is Rashi Teva. Shum means garlic. Shum is Rashi Teva. Shin Vav Mem. Shin is Shapira, Spire. Vav is worms, Varmiza. And Mem is Magensia, which is mines. These three communities were majorly communities, and from there, everyone in Germany, certainly, and arguably even in France, they looked to these communities for guidance to have an understanding of life. And whatever happened there spread to the rest of the Jewish world. Then after the First Crusade, the Jews were no longer secure in Germany. They moved away. Where did they go? All over the place. And many of them, that's really where probably, I'm assuming, where the migration to Poland began. The major, there was Jews in Poland before, but I'm assuming that there was a much, Poland became much more established. But first, really, what was about Spain. Spain probably took in a lot of Jews who fled from the First Crusade. But Spain was not necessarily a comfortable place for Jews, because the Jews in Ashkenaz were, like we call them, Ashkenazim. They were, their way of life was much more insular. They distanced themselves from the Goyim. Poland was a continuation of that. In Poland, they lived in ghettos. They completely lived in isolation. They stayed away from the Goyim. Not so in Spain. Spain, the Jews were much, much more integrated with Goyim, probably similar to the way we live today in America, where we're very familiar, comfortable with the Goyim. So, I don't know all the details. It seems very pretty complex. And it all depends on which book you read. You'll get a very different take. Everyone seems to want to write history in their image. Okay, that appears to be very true Jewish history. But no question about it, there are certain periods of time where the dominating part of the world of where the Jews were in different countries. It used to be America. That's where all the action was. No, that's where all the action was. I'd probably go back, certainly 50 years ago. Not anymore. I don't think so anymore. I don't think America is in the Orthodox Jewish world considered today to be the major center of Yadus. I think Eretz Yisrael today, to a very large degree, is Ki Mitzioin Teitzes Tzora, Iksud Mashicha, Machzra Tor Lioshna. Definitely, you see how they flex their muscles in Eretz Yisrael, and America has no choice but to fall in line. Okay, it wasn't like that. I don't think it was the other way. It used to be all the way around years ago, that when the American Rabbanim flexed their muscles in Eretz Yisrael, they paid attention. Today, it doesn't seem like that. It seems the main koyach is in Eretz Yisrael. So every tekufa you find Klal Yisrael is in a certain location. But the lesson is, the ultimate goal is to go back, to return to Eretz Yisrael. When we go through Golus and we go through different, we travel, Klal Yisrael travels to different locations, and that becomes the dominant center of Judaism. It's what they say in the Kabbalistic term, they're there just to extract the sparks of holiness that are found in that country. And that can mean even the Goyim, they have milos. They have a certain mila which creeps in to Jews. Look in America. What is the biggest mile of America? Biggest mile of America that contributed to Yadus, beyond the shadow of a doubt, is in America, liberty, justice for everyone.
Freedom,
but it's more than that. It's anyone can be what he wants to be. Until America, you were boxed into a very limited lifestyle. If your father was a carpenter, that's what you were going to be. If your father was a blacksmith, that's what you were going to be. If your father was a milamed, that's what you were going to be. You don't have an opportunity to say, I want to be something different. I want to break out of this. I want to be the president of the United States. Who would have such a sagas to be able to that the average person, all it takes is hard work and will to do whatever you want to do. This is America. This is the American dream. You can have it all. Just work hard. The opportunities are there. The country is behind you. There's no limitation. This attitude is a blessing that has crept into Yadus. In Yadus, a boy wakes up in the morning, goes to elementary school, goes to high school, and he says to himself, I want to be a Rav. You'll be a Rav. I want to be a Rosh Shiva. You'll be a Rosh Shiva. I want to be a Sofer. You'll be a Sofer. I want to be anything you want to do in Yadus. In Yadus is within your reach. And you'll receive help. You'll receive opportunity. You'll have opportunities. They'll be mechazek you. Any area, any mitzoya in Torah, you want to learn Shas, you can learn Shas. You want to learn Shulchan Aruch, you learn Shulchan Aruch. You want to Agadata, you want to write. You want whatever you want. It is open to you. This didn't exist, to the best of my knowledge, that long ago. This is an American philosophy, an American ideology, which is a beautiful thing, which we have taken into Yadus. We don't even realize it. We can't even begin to be massive what it has done for us. And the same way, this is what America has contributed. What did Germany contribute? Mussar. Okay, the Germans are stiff. The Germans are proper. Okay, they were sharm also. Let's not forget that. They're wicked as can be, but there's a certain rigidness, discipline, which is part of Yadus. Yadus demands Mussar. Shema b'ni Mussar avicha. Well, we're not going to say that rubbed off on us, that the Jews from Germany is not the moral conscience of people who wake up 10 o'clock in the morning, right? They don't feel, in their mind, they don't feel guilty because they know what the real deal is. Who's the real deal? The Yekas. You know, the Yekas are the one who built the whole Klal Yisrael. Who built Lubavitch? Who's the one, Red Meir? Who built Lubavitch? Who's the real responsible for Lubavitch? Yeah. Horkova, is that his name? Hodakov. Who is Hodakov? The Rebbe's Gabbai. Right?
If you would ask him, say Kramer.
Who's Kramer? I don't even know.
Kramer family that started in the Lakewood and around, but they were really...
No, that was the Friedrich Rebbe. That was the sixth Rebbe. That was the Riatz. But the seventh Rebbe, who called the shots in the early years? The Rebbe? No, I've asked around. You told me, you insisted, so I asked some other people, and they told me I'm right. They say that he had major, and who was he? He was the Yekka. An echo? Make it a little lower. He was a Yekka, right? Hodakov. Who ran the Aguda? Rosenheim. What was he? A Yekka. So already you have two institutions, the Agudas Yisrael. They were big. They were big Agud years ago. Today it's a different Aguda, but they had major influence.
The Yekka is, you know, the reason they buried down in New Jersey was because it was a Yekka. That was the Yekka Cemetery.
So the Yekkas are the ones who built the Aguda, and the Yekka is the one who built Lubavitch. Some of the, I think there are more major institutions that were also built. Why? What?
Because the biggest administrators were sent from Germany to Poland.
So only the Yekkas can build an institution. It's an amazing thing. It's true. This son has, I read this in an article, an analysis. the Yekkes are the one that really were the administrators.
All Polish Jews were actually came from Germany.
But Polish Jews are not Yekkes. We all know that.
We're talking about this
discipline. Okay, Rosenheim, they say, was such a disciplined. Hartikoff was a very, very tough, very tough, disciplined, real, real Yekkes. You have to meet the real Yekkes. I remember as a child, remember Mr. Willis remembers, Mr. Willis remember Dr. Victor's father? Dr. Victor's father. What was his first name? Achover.
They were twin brothers?
So he was a real Yekka. He was the real deal. Okay, yeah, if you never met a real Yekka, you don't know what a Yekka is. You've all met probably a real Yekka. Today they don't exist anymore. It's gone. You don't see it anymore. You don't see it anymore. But he was the real deal. And Rosenheim, and the way they would describe Hordakov, these were real Yekkas. And they were the ones who controlled, he controlled Lubavitch. He controlled the Rebbe to a degree. He was his gabbai. He decided me.
That's what they say. That's
the reputations also. I ask around people. They say yeah, it's absolutely true. And I think later about the Rebbe became more. Tell me a leader, a builder, an architect, of an institution. The whole Aguda. It's hands down is Rosenheim. Everyone says that. Everyone says if not for Rosenheim, there would not be an Aguda, period. Forget it. The only one that brought the glue together was Rosenheim. And Scherer, this generation.
Tomorrow's
I don't know. Tress worked under Scherer. Tress wasn't the Aguda. I mean, he was part of the Aguda, but he was... It's not the way I... But he was... That's not the way I remember it. All right, where I read about, I don't know, maybe you're right, maybe you're right, but certainly in the later years when I grew up, and now that I read about it more and more, it's clear as day, it's like the whole Aguda was a one-man show. It's a one-man show. It was totally, totally of Moshe Scherer, totally, from beginning to end. And now that he's not here, you take a see, there is no Aguda. I mean, it's not nice to say, but the whole, it's...
Everything is all split up. The responsibilities.
There's nothing going on. There's no force. And Rosenheim, you read about the Knesset Gedoyla, and you read about different things they enacted, things they accomplished, and all the fighting that went on. It was all him. One man show. And a Yekka. So here we go back. So what is the Musa? Every country has something to contribute to Klal Yisrael. And the Musa, though, of this Maimon Chazal is, in Golos, we have to go through Golos and travel through the world to extract the milos of each nation and take what each nation has to offer and bring it into Klal Yisrael. Okay, each country, you're not allowed to say anything good about a goy. There's an Isser deraisa lois chonen. There's an Isser deraisa. Be very, very careful in how you finesse this idea. Is categorically forbidden to say that the goy has a milo, but somehow you have to split hairs and not say that it's a milo, but you have to look at a certain approach to life which is dominant in our host country, and recognize how that approach to life, that ideology, has affected us for the good, how the American dream has affected Klal Yisrael for the good, that a child today has very big hasagas. The children in previous generation have such big hasagas. You're born, and what are your expectations in life?
It's also a tremendous downside. You can also be the worst behemoth in the world.
And be accepted. You can be the worst of the worst, and also be accepted. Right. In a chanan, zelu umazet. Let's only focus on the positive. You're right. Absolutely. Everything comes with a price. Everything comes with a price. But let's only focus on the positive. Each country has an ideology which has clearly sunk, has affected Klal Yisrael. And as we come to Yimos HaMashiach, we're basically taking all of these ideologies that have affected us and we're bringing them together to complete the circuit, to be mashlim the shlemus of Adam, all using these milos to serve Hashem, lahagdil Torah ulahadira. This Maim Chazal is teaching us one very important yisod, though, and that is, after we're finished sucking up the milo and we leave, there's nothing left. It's over. The country is completely desolate. Okay? Even look, recently, modern times, you go to Brownsville, East New York. You drive there now. What's there? Nothing. Zero zilch. And if Mayor give you a tour, he can show you, you know what used to be over here? The biggest shul, you know who davened here, you know what took place over here? You go in the Lower East Side. I met my mother, Allah Hashem, before she was living in the Lower East Side, she was walking down the streets there in the Lower East Side, where RJJ used to be, right around the corner of MTJ, and she told me, you know who lived here? This Rebbe. And you know what happened on this, right on these steps? This Maisa happened. And you know what happened on Yom Kippur, right in this corner over here? And he says, you don't understand who lived here after the war. After the war, the Sheris HaPlate, the refugees who came and lived here, from the biggest Gedolim, and the things, if the stones can speak, the stories that would tell you, you wouldn't even believe. And now you walk there, there is absolutely nothing. Not even the slightest zecher. What happened? We came there, we sucked out the nitzotzes, we sucked out what it had, the sanctity that it had to offer, and once we're finished, there's nothing left. And that's really, in essence, what it says here. Niskal l'bavel. Now, I don't mean it as a curse, but go to bavel to an extreme. Bavel was cursed. That's it. Niskal l'shecheneha. There's nothing to talk about. It's all over. It's finished. You sucked out the nitzotzes. It's time to move forward. But not Eretz Yisrael. Klal Yisrael had some good years in Eretz Yisrael. There were good times. And it was Kedusha. We sucked out the Kedusha. And then unfortunately we went into Golis. It's not like going, not like in America when you go from, when Klal Yisrael travels from one neighbor to the next. In Eretz Yisrael it's like a be'er whose waters do not lie. The nitzotzotz, the holiness that is there, is permanent. It's continuous. It is consistent. And just because we are temporarily in Golos, it does not mean the land is finished, that there's nothing more the land has to offer. The Kedusha is still there, waiting for us. And that idea is brought out by showing that just because Eretz Shemen was cursed because of our sins, but it's still a vineyard. It's still producing fruit. And that fruit is symbolic that it has more to offer. There's more holiness that's there, that's waiting for us to return and take advantage of. We're not going back to Germany. We're not going back to Poland. We're not going back to Russia. We're not going back there. There are people that are living there, and they need our support. Kol hakavod. While they're there, as long as they're there, they should have everything that they need. But are we, as a Klal Yisrael, is our next stop? Oh, now we're going to go. That's the next frontier where we need to go. We're not going there. We've been there, done that. And once we've been there and done that, there's nothing more to take from that place. It's over. Jews that are there, okay, they have to be there for whatever reason. In a chanami, there's more for them to take. But as a community, for us to go, to emigrate, okay, now is the next stop. We're all going to go and run to Russia. It doesn't seem. Niskalala Bavel. Niskalala Shecheneha. Why would you want to go to a cursed place? We're all now going to go move to Iraq, Iran, because once upon a time, the greatest centers of Yadus were there. Suda and Pumpedisa were done. We've extracted everything there was to extract. Yemen, we're done. No one's going back to Yemen. The next stop on the train is Eretz Yisrael. Oh, but you'll say, but we've already extracted all of the same way. We're not going back to Russia, to Yemen, to Germany, to Poland, to Spain. So why should we go back to Eretz Yisrael? Let's look for a new place to go. Let's go to Mars. Maybe we'll find some sanctity there. No. Eretz Yisrael is still a vineyard. Just because we left it, it's not cursed. It's producing fruit. There's more to extract. There's more to take. Let's now go to the next pasuk. Meir, is it making too much of an echo still?
Yeah.
I'll make it a little bit lower. I have adjustments here, all different type of adjustments. If only I can adjust my head as much as I can adjust the microphone. What?
Now you see ear buzz.
Ear buzz? Alright, we'll see how it goes. Pashtu with this later. This is supposed to be a good machine. I got this at a bargain discount. All right, let's go now to Pasuk Avav. V'chol pisilecha yukasu. Now we're going to the trouble with all of the abominations. All of the pisilecha means all of the idols yukasu will be broken to smithereens. V'chol es na neha yisarfu va'esh. All of the money that is paid for zinus, for an esnan zayna, an animal that is given to a harlot for her service, so this will be destroyed. Yisrifu v'esh v'chol atzabeha. Atzabeha is a code word for an idol. It's a poetic repetition. There's repetition because of the word pisilecha is a pesel. Pesel means something which you craft. You carve out. You carve out an idol. And the word atzabeha is also another word for an idol. It means literally sadness. An idol is something which is very disappointing. You put your faith in it, you pay your membership dues, and what does it do for you? Absolutely nothing. It is the ultimate disappointment to support an idol, and therefore that's why it's called the Atzabeha. Osim Shimama, I will set these objects as an object of desolation. In other words, they will be destroyed. Why? Because it was founded. Esnan Zayna means the entire, it was established. Well, we have to read the words of the Mitsudos in detail, but Kibotza means the wealth. This location was established by accumulating wealth that came from money that was illicitly gained, money that was used to hire zonos. The anestan zona yeshuva, therefore it will return. It will go back. It will go back from where it came from. Okay, we have this. Let's see over here the mitzvahs for more clarification in this pasuk. Pasuk Zayin in the mitzvahs David, which begins on page 450, the last line, Yukasu, Ha'ivim Ha'ivim Yishberu Ha'pesilim Lokachas Li'atzmam. The enemy that attacks and enters into Eretz Yisrael will destroy the idols. Why? What's the purpose of destroying the idols? To take the gold and the silver that overlays the idols for themselves. Lakachas la'atzvam tzipui, the covering, ha'kesev yazav asher alehem, which is upon the idol. Okay, the next words, v'chol esna, on the next page 452, v'chol esna neha, ha'doi reinois, the gifts, shenosnu la'avoidas koichavim, mikelim malbushim, shlo ye roi lohilchi mohem, yisarfu v'esh. And he's learning like we learned in, like very similar to what we learned in Sefer Mishlei, that avoiders, that esnan, money paid to a harlot, is equivalent to money given to worship idols. So all of the items that were given to these these churches, these places, these houses of worship to idols that are not fit to take with them back to their home country will be destroyed. Like we learned so many times in Sefer Mishlei, therefore, esnan, we call the gifts that are given to the church in esnan, nikra matan azayna, just like azayna, the gift that a man gives a woman to do an avera is called an esnan. Yeah.
There are two aspects to this. One is that practices in the Avodah Zarah. Also involved Zanus, but at the same time, the Avodah Zarah itself is called Zanus.
Right. Now, yeah, we discussed many times. Right, they were all the Mitzvah David is just taking on. He's learning very simple. He's learning over here that the primary focus of discussion from the context of Avodah Zarah. So we're going to use the terminology of Azayna for Avodah Zarah. Obviously, other Mepharshim will obviously learn differently. To learn over here that we're dealing mamish with real Zanus itself. And like we mentioned many times, the Chazal tell us that what was the purpose of Avodah Zarah? It wasn't that they really cared about the idol. It was to be matir arayas, very famous Chazal, to give license. You create a new ideology which allows you to engage in arayas, which is pleasure, your own pleasure. These are all very deep ideas. But here we have a very simple, Mitzvah is just telling us the very simple translation of the Pasuk, v'chol atzabecha, v'chol atzabecha, v'chol atzabecha, v'chol atzabim, all of the atzabecha, he learns over the churches. Key, now here's the next part which requires more clarification, this next part of the Pasuk, ki mi esnan zoyn lekibotza, ritzoyin oyloyma. What does this mean to say? Ha'oysher, the wealth. Hanimsa bibote hapistilin, the wealth that is found in the bank accounts of the church, hine niskabetz, has been collected, mima sheheviu lehazoyna esnan. Ritzoyin oloymar, mehadoroynois sheheviu lavoydas kechavim. The money in their account is all money of Avera. It's money that people gave to worship a god. They gave the money with a kavana of idol worship, which means the money is aser b'hana. Money that's given in honor of a god is that money is problematic. If the money was given by the government to pay the rent, okay, the church has a dining room which they use for a senior citizen center, and the government pays rent. And the bank, they have in the bank a ton of money from the government for the rent, for their for facilities. L'chayr, that money is not so bad. That money is not, that's good, hard-earned taxpayer money. That money is not money that needs to be destroyed. But if the money in the bank is money that people give as a donation to the gods, to their idols, I'm giving $100 so that the god should bestow upon me blessing. So that money obviously is problematic. But again, if the money is just money that they paid for a rent, someone made a party and they paid the church to rent their facility $100, that money is not necessarily problematic. So here he's saying over here, the Pasuk over here is saying is that don't make any mistake about it. These churches that are found in Shomron and Yerushalayim, and you'll look at their bank accounts and you'll discover enormous amounts of money. Don't think it's clean money. It's dirty money. It's money that has been given for the wrong reasons, or money that has been given and earned by people who earned the money through theft. It's dirty money, and that money cannot be used for anything good. This is one of the big debates in fundraising. Talk to the big fundraisers, is they grapple with this every single day of getting money from, first of all, non-Jews, and getting money from irreligious Jews that are not religious, and getting money from people that you know that earn their money from casinos, earn the money from a lot worse. You can use your imagination. They have businesses, and they have, or they're involved in things that are not something that we are proud of. Okay, someone who's a big movie star, okay, is not something that we're proud of. Even though Chazal say there's no one greater, is more certain to have a chelik in Olam Haba than a person who's an entertainer. Right? Isn't that what Chazal say? Chazal say that who's a ben Olam Haba? They were two clowns. And one of the Amoraim, they pointed that these people are certain to be from the ben Olam Haba because they give people simcha. They give people joy. A rabbi gives his balabatim agmas nefesh. He gives, he says a boring shear, goes overtime, the shear is boring. So, what, he's going to go to Olam Haba? The only one that he's serving is himself. He's not serving his people, he's just a captive audience. Okay, it's a dangerous job being a rabbi. Okay?
Can you even give the money back to Barbara Streisand or something?
Believe me, today no yeshiva would give back. No yeshiva would give back her money. That was mamish. Rabbi Mandel, don't believe you'll find today even one yeshiva Barbara Streisand would come and give a donation to any yeshiva. They'll take it with open arms.
You're being mazaka the person.
What? Oh, he already says being mazaka the person. Being mazaka. Well, Baba Treba believed in that. Baba Treba was a very strong believer in that idea. Yeah. Is that you're being mazaka person? Now, Rishon, Barbara Streisand back in the day, you have to say there's been an incredible yurida of Doiros very quickly in the last 20 years. And the entertainment, the Gemara, it's a Gemara Mifureshes, an entertainer is a Ben Olam Haba, they give people simcha. A person's depressed, can you imagine, go home, you lie down on the couch, turn on the television, you watch a movie, takes your mind off your problems. You learn a little moral lesson. Sometimes you have a show, a movie, has something positive to offer, something pleasant. There are things. You all can reflect upon movies, your favorite movie. There's something to it. No, there's something to it. But unfortunately today, it's become so rare. The form of entertainment, unfortunately, has sunk for no reason. There's no reason why it has to be like that, but unfortunately, the Ummah Olam, they're catering to a very, very, very a crowd that is very, very low, and entertainment today, more or less, is about three things. Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayah, Shvichas Damim. That's what it's about. And Avodah Zarah means money. It's about the pursuit of materialism and Gili Arayos. And I mean, you cannot produce a film unless at least 10 people are killed within an hour, right? Within an hour and a half watching a movie, if at least 10 people aren't killed, what kind of movie is this? And if the person doesn't have at least 2 or 3 affairs, your main actor in this movie, you know, then there's something wrong with you. So unfortunately, it's not exactly something that today we're very proud of. So if a person who's very wealthy from this form of entertainment presents a large sum of money to a Jewish institution, how do we deal with that? How do you deal with... So Lubavitcher Rebbe was of the opinion, it's okay. Adarabba, you are giving, you have to give him an opportunity. Don't look at it, don't be selfish. Don't be selfish and look at yourself and say, I want to be pure. I want to be pure, and therefore this type of money is dirty. So I'm gonna stain my holy neshama by taking money that came from source that's not pure. Don't look at it like that. That's selfish. Look at it from the other person's perspective. He needs help. He needs a merit. He needs zuchusim. He needs olam haba. Allow him to have a merit by taking his money, and you'll use his money to sanctify Hashem's name in this world. He's not going to change. Or you think you're going to change him? He is what he is. But give him a merit, and maybe adarav, by giving him a merit, that will somehow, some way, in Hashem's mysterious ways, will cause something to happen to his neshama or to his children, and he will have a merit. So don't be so selfish and look at yourself. Look at the other person. That was a very novel way of looking at fundraising, and I can tell you with certainty that many Gedolei Yisrael did not look at fundraising like that. And there are many shades of gray as to how the Gedolei Yisrael of very all different types of institutions, what their criteria were in accepting money. The story of Barbara Streisand, everyone talks about from you only hear about it a million times when you hear about fundraising, is today is Mamish, Rabbi Mandel is a Yochid B'Doyrei. Okay, Yochid Midoroi to take a stand and say, no, it's not what we're doing here. We're trying to raise children al tahara sakodesh, and it cannot be the money that comes from unholy sources. I don't know why it's unholy. What did she do already? What did she do? She married to a guy? So she married to a guy. So what? I mean, so why is the money unholy sources? So she married a guy. Okay, so. But where did she get the money from? She's an entertainer. Did she do anything so terrible? I'm not familiar with her movies, what she did, but doesn't seem like from what I hear in the street that she did anything so bad.
Nobody knows.
Exactly. They actually have a book. There's a biography that came out about a year ago. Rabbi Mandel must be there. If it's there, it must be there.
Is it better to take from a landlord who's a slum landlord?
No, exactly. 100% not. Exactly. 100%. At least her money is honest money. She earned it fair and square. She didn't rip anyone off. She was hired to do a job. She's very talented, very successful. She has talent. And she earned it fair and square. So that's right. It's honest money. And what did she do already? I never heard. I don't know. I'm not a bucky in all of.
Wasn't in yeshiva.
What?
Yeah.
They have. I remember there's a picture
movie,
of her when she was in yeshiva.
Yentl.
Yentl. So is Yentl. I never saw Yentl.
Well,
it's a clean
yeshiva. She dressed up as a.
It's
a
big deal. So what's so terrible with that?
Yeah.
Relatively speaking, I'm not a sad mechaser of you. I'm not going. I mean, what's the terrible? What's the big deal? I don't mean in a negative way. I just mean I'm not from like you know. Tzitta from these things, and I don't think the average person. So what's so terrible? You'll tell me about someone that's mamish, a mushchis, a low life of a low life, and people they influence it. It influences people to do terrible things. They thrive, bloodthirsty people. All right, I get it. I haven't heard anything so terrible about her. So, you got the point. Best thing is the money is honest money. That's what counts. This is a very big debate. Here, it says here, this pasuk is making a very powerful stem that cannot be ignored. Micha is taking a hard stand. He's saying over here, end of the pasuk says something very, very important. Okay, and you have to see if other prophets, if they agree with him on this point. There are 48 prophets who says everyone subscribes to his opinion. It's not one size fits all. He says here very powerful words, ki me esnan zoyna ki botza, viad esnan zoyna yeshuvu. Mitzudos David, ritzoyna loymar, ho'oysher, hanimsa lebote hapistilib, hinei niskabeitz mimashe viyu laha zoyna esnan. Ritzoyna loymar mehadoi roynoi she viyu laha vodiz kachovim. It's not clean money. We do care. You just don't look at someone's bank account and look at the bottom line. You look at, well, where did this money come from? Where did it come from? Okay, many the ad esnan zona yeshuvu chumaychen yeshuvu liyos esnan. Where is it going to go? He's giving a curse. It's yeshuvu liyos esnan v'doron la zona ritzon leimach oyev yitnum l'doron la voidas kechav shalom. That's where it's going to go. It came from avodah zara. And when the enemy attacks and takes that money, they're going to use it to build their own church and to plate their own gods with gold and silver. Hashgacha, the money, the Korach, there were three matmones, or Michal, he called me out on this. Where did Korach get all of his money from? So I told you this incredible medrash, which Michal told me is not the Iker, 100%, but the Iker medrash is, there were three wealthy people who there were three. Yosef HaTzadik accumulated all of the wealth of the world at the time of the Ra'av, the 7 years of famine. And he stored it in secret treasure vaults in the world. Where exactly? Who knows? You assume in Mitzrayim, not necessarily.
He put it in the Bitcoins.
He put it somewhere. And three, and one of them is still in hiding. Correct? Is that what the Medrash says? One is still in hiding for whom? For the tzaddikim la'asilava. The first was found by Korach. And the second was found by Haman? No, who is it? Wait, I forgot. Who is the second? The second matmin? Okay, there were three Madmoines. I don't remember. I don't remember. All I remember about is that Yosef HaTzadik was a very wise man, and when someone came to buy grain, he was able to, he asked him, it was a questionnaire, what do you do for a living? You want to buy grain, you want to give me $10,000? He asked him, where did this money come from? What do you do? I'm an accountant. It's honest money. Okay, here's the grain. He took that money and he put it in pile A. Clean money. Then another one guy walks in. What do? I have a casino. I have a base zonos. I'm the best in the industry, the biggest. I need to buy some grain for my family, for my country. Here's $10,000. He put in pile B. Another person walks in, a galach, a priest walks in. What do? I have a church. People come and they bow down to my idols. You're an oivir, and he gives Yosef $10,000. Okay, here's your grain. And he put that money in pile C. He had three piles. Money that came through avodah zarah. I don't remember the details. The money that came from other sources. And clean money. The clean money is still in hiding. Korach discovered the money that came from avodah zarah. That's what it says in the Medrash. So look what happened to Korach. Every day he ate, he ate man, but he was very wealthy. Obviously they needed money for something else. They traveled in the desert and I guess they passed by merchants and he had benefit from this money. But the source of this money is avodah zarah. It is...
Did he know that?
I must have, yes. If I know it, don't you think he knew it? if I know
say,
it...
Didn't you say last week that Korach got this money because of the building of the... that he collected a lot of money when they were building and he made a fortune? That's what you said last week in a different message, right? So now you have an
order. Okay, but Korach found money. Korach was obviously... The Medrash basically says he was affected by his wealth, not because he was wealthy. See, we are Muslim. We think our person is very wealthy. They're very wealthy, so they don't see the world the way we see the world. You know, it's very true. A person that struggles to survive has a very different outlook on life than a person that money is not an issue. If so much money, so you're looking for trouble. Because you have nothing to do with yourself. You don't have to struggle to survive. You have no daigus. It's not the only reason why people that are very, very wealthy, unfortunately, they become desensitized to the struggle of the common man. There's another issue. Where did you get your money from? Unfortunately, it's not uncommon for a very wealthy person's wealth to be gained from sources that are not so
pure.
Praiseworthy.
Pure.
They're not. When someone paid you this money, did they give you the money with simcha, with happiness? Person makes a sin. Let's say you're a caterer, okay, and you're a caterer, and you don't rip people off. Let's say you're a caterer and you charge a very fair price. The money person gives the caterer, they're usually very happy. They're not happy, okay? They're life savings, but they're making a simcha. They're marrying off a child. They're happy. I'm giving you the money. You're not ripping me off. I'm paying Mark, whatever the going rate is. So I'm giving it with will. And then you have people who give money. It's like you're a ganef. I'm not a ganef. I don't have a choice. I have to give you this money because I'm in a very bad position. Don't you think that the person who becomes wealthy by taking advantage of people because they're in a desperate situation, it affects them. The money that they're using, it's like a third, it's like a sixth sense. We discussed this yesterday. It's different. I always wondered about this. People in the stock market. I don't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer. There are many people that years ago became phenomenally wealthy in a certain time before they lost it all. For a tkufa, my father always used to say that if you make money in the stock market, it's a loan. It's just a loan. Anyone that makes money big in the stock market, it's just a loan. The day will come where you'll give it all back. That's the nature of the game. But this is the question. Maybe you can set me straight. It bothered me. People have become very wealthy. Every time a person gains in the stock market, doesn't that mean there's someone else out there in the world who lost?
No. Everybody can gain.
No.
Everybody gains or loses.
Some zeros.
All right. Then let's talk about. Let's say you trade commodities. Let's say people were involved in trading. Trading currencies. Okay. What about that? If you trade American dollars for euros. If you purchase euros, then you sell it when the price fluctuates.
Yeah, but it's speculation.
Doesn't that mean that when you gain, someone is losing?
No.
No.
No. No.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong then. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm wrong then. Okay. I take it back then. But I'm assuming are there businesses where people speculate? Is there such a thing in
when you win a gambling, so then you're gaining because somebody's losing?
That's the lumps of a smachta. Okay, maybe that's true. But is there a modern equivalence of that in the investments? Is there any equivalent of that, of gambling? Gambling is you put the money into the pot, and one person wins. So when one person wins, you have simcha, and everyone else has tsar.
Jealous.
Right, they lost. Let's talk about a lottery. Okay, you know what? That's very good. Let's talk about a lottery. Let's say a person wins a lottery. You win a lottery. Where did the money come from? You win a lottery. And we're talking over here halacha lemaisa, where everyone signs off. Lotteries is been discussed by the poskim 100 times. It's 100% mutter. There's no asmach. There's no issue of gambling. When you give them the dollar, you know that you may lose. But the winner takes all. So that means I am gaining, and you, everyone here, lost. Did I provide you with a service? If I'm your accountant, you gave me $100 because I really gave you more. I gave you a service. I deserve it. There's absolutely nothing wrong. That's the cleanest money you can possibly have. I provide a service, I'm entitled to be paid. I have an object, I sell you an object, a commodity. That could not possibly be better than that. But in the lottery, when I win $1 million, that means 1 million people lost.
Not because of you, though, because they didn't have the right numbers. You had
correct. Okay.
It's all luck, bro. You're not just...
They lost. So this...
Not because of you.
Listen, believe me, I'll take the money in a heartbeat. I'll take the money so fast, you can't outdo me. So I'm just talking about theoretically. Let's not make this personal, because
okay.
It comes to money, you don't have to worry. I'll take the money in a heartbeat. But just think theoretically. If I win $1 million, that means 1 million people lost. Al pi halacha, 1 million people lost a dollar.
But they could have won.
Did I provide them with a service?
No.
I did not provide them with any service. I did nothing for them. They had hope. It's a chance. It's a lottery. It's mutter lichatchila in Shulchan Aruch. There is not even the smallest doubt. We're not dealing over here with an issue of choshen mishpat. The money is as clean as can possibly be. But this is what bothers me. I'm totally wrong, obviously, but let me just express to you my frustration. How can I expect that if I take this $1 million that I won through winning a lottery, that I will be successful in using it for some religious project to serve Hashem? This money came through 1 million people waking up in the morning, going online, listening to the radio, checking their ticket. Did I win? I lost.
I had a religious organization through China.
Because it's mutter. I told you what I'm telling you over here is nonsense. But I want to talk about it theoretically. Of course, it's nonsense. This is the way the world works. But I'm just presenting you my frustration. If you earn money, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm an accountant, I'm a computer programmer, you're a teacher, you provide a service, you sell a product, and you earn, you become wealthy, and the people give you the money because you're providing a service. Wow! I'm mekane those people. Because that money, no matter how big or how small, came into their hands mitoch simcha, and mitoch, I want to give it. But when money comes into your hands, because 1,000,000 people woke up in the morning and went on television and saw they lost the Powerball, and 1,000,000 people gave a krechs for 10 seconds, but I won the money, I have $100 million, and I'm going to use it for great things. I'm going to use it to build institutions of chesed for everything. That's the way the world works. That's what anyone in this room would do beyond a shadow of a doubt, and that's mutter l'chatchila. But it bothers me.
Is the dollar considered
Kerem Chol, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to add that there's a difference between earning one's wealth through work and effort and a windfall. And I put Korach and the others in this category of like hitting the lottery. It's a windfall and it's not earned. And therefore, it's not the same. And the attitude towards that, towards receiving that wealth and how it came to you is not the same. And that's what caused this.
But I'm talking about a supernatural siyata dishmaya. This thing is no good. This thing is making too much noise. I'm talking about a siyata dishmaya, a special siyata dishmaya that you could expect. We all see in life there are people who do exactly the same thing. Some people are successful and some are not. And you scratch your head and you say, why? There's no difference. Why does one person succeed? There's a gift. Hashem gives siyata d'shmaya to the person he wants. And sometimes a mazel. So is it a mazel or is it, well, let's follow the money trail. Where did this person gain the money to be successful? Where did it come from? It came from, he worked very, very hard. He earned it. And that few dollars, I personally believe, can have more potency, more bang for the buck, than a person who just, you swindled someone to give you money, and the end is, it's yours. You went to a dentira and the dayanin, they pask in mutter, and you win in Shulchan Aruch, and you'll go to Gan Eden. Bottom line is, how did you get this money?
If you win the lottery, is the dollar you're giving, is that considered gambling?
No, it's not. A lottery is not, the Poskim discussed in great detail, a lottery is not called gambling. It's not called gambling. It's not the
but
same.
You're not giving it to a cause. It's like when you go to the Chinese auction, you give the money, you're really giving up the money. It's like,
right.
Okay, I'm giving it
to the stock up. Correct. Chinese auction, when you have a Chinese auction for a yeshiva, for a religious institution, right, it's much better because you're giving it for the stock up.
You're giving anything, you don't get it.
It's a technique. To maybe you'll win, you'll give a little bit more.
It's a gamble.
I once read up on this. I bothered me the same question. Maybe even gave a share on this once upon a time. We learned this is that gamble, that a lottery. It's a good question. Why the Gemara talks about people who play, who roll dice, mesachakim bekuvia. People who roll dice, it's gezel. The puzzle, gambling. Puzzle. It means. So what exactly is Misachak and Bekuvi? What exactly were they doing? Define exactly the technique. What exactly was the game all about? Awesome. These people are posul le'edus. If they are witnesses by a wedding, the couple is not married. Why? Because they're ganovim. Why are they ganovim? What do they do wrong? The money they have in their possession is not theirs. Because the people, when they play their game, the people who give the money really think they're going to win. And when they lose, And when they lose, it's viewed in halach as if the winner has stolen their money. They never meant to give the money. Now that's because the case of Mesachakim Bekuvio involves strategy. We don't appreciate what it means, people who roll dice. We think it's just potluck. If it's potluck, then it's not. That's exactly what a lottery is. You're playing cards. There's a strat. I don't know how to play cards, but supposedly there are certain types of games they played that involved strategy. And each person who comes to the table believes he's the biggest chacham. Okay? He's a chacham, and he knows how to play this game better than his fellow, and he's going to win. He's going to outsmart. And therefore, when he's shocked to learn that there's someone that knows how to play the game better than him, or someone had better luck, mazel, and he loses the money, wow. Had I known this, I never would have participated. So I never meant to give away my money. So you have the money, you're a ganov. But when you give money to a lottery, the New York State Lottery, you give money to the Powerball or something like this, there's no strategy. There's no strategy. It's pure pot luck. Pure luck. Pure luck. You know in your mind that I'm giving away my dollar to some guy, who knows where is going to get part of it, and the government will get the rest. Okay, the government probably gets half of your dollar when you give away money, when you go to a lottery. So you know right away that this is not the real deal.
Well, the bigger issue is really that the dollar is not going to kill people. You know, there are people who do this. The odds are like 300 million to one in the Powerball, and some people putting down 30, 50, I don't know what. That's a lot of money where they're really getting hurt because they get too tired.
But it doesn't matter. There's no strategy.
No, there's no strategy. It's all luck.
Exactly. So when there is no...
reducing the odds by getting... They're not reducing...
Reducing the odds, it's still luck. It's still mazel. There is no strategy. When there is no strategy, Chazal, you're giving away your money. Belev Sholem, whoever wins, they deserve the money. It's theirs. But if you're going into a situation where you have a strategy, where there's a chokhmah, and you think that you're a big chokham, you know how to outsmart your friend, and it turns out they outsmarted you, oh, that's a different story. That Chazal say you're a ganav. Okay, so this
excuse me. In the case of Natalia, the people are going to buy a ticket.
Yes, right.
It's not a gambling. And everybody hope, daven to Hashem, I be winner. You are going to have emunah also.
But so what? When a person plays cards, let's assume for argument's sake that poker has strategy.
They do something. It does. You buy a ticket.
Okay, so it does. So let's assume poker has strategy. When you're playing poker, there is chokhmah. You are relying upon your chokhmah. The only reason why you're willing to play this game is because you look at your opponents and you say, I'm gonna outdo these people. And that's the Chazal with Yuri Lisev Daita Shalodam. And when you lose, you have Charata, I never meant to play this game. But when you give money to a lottery, that's not what your mindset is. Your mindset is, there is no strategy, it's pure luck. Pure luck, maybe I'll win, maybe I'll lose. So for a dollar, why not? Why not?
There's another thing. When I play poker, for instance, it's a person against person. Here, I give to a company, if a la pies, or this.
I don't know if that makes a difference.
So I give the money there, and everybody gives there. Whoever wins, wins.
I don't know if that makes a difference.
I took from him.
There's a third party. Does it make a difference? You make to a third party. You go to a third party. I don't know if that makes a difference. I hear what you're saying, but I don't know if that makes a difference.
So there's a company.
You're putting money into an escrow account, right? So when you put money on the table, you're playing poker. So you're putting money on the table. So the table is the escrow account.
Against him.
Fine, but the lottery is also. A friend? Do they take away? Do they take home the money? They take home the money? So is it a small amount of money or a large amount of money?
Sometimes he wins big, he'll come home like with a buck and a half.
So that's okay. So that is what it says in Poiskim. A small Rabbosai. It says Beferish. I can't cite you chapter and verse, but it says in the Poiskim, playing poker and cards, these things which do involve strategy, for small pocket change is mutter. Because pocket change is just, it's fun. When you go and start putting on the table big bucks, I know of two people, they don't do it anymore, but you have two very, this is what they say about them. They say about these two people, I remember as a child, they would say that every mitzvah Shabbos, they relax and they play Monopoly. They play Monopoly every mitzvah Shabbos. They play Monopoly. They love that. These are big tycoons, real estate tycoons, and they have a geschmacky time. And there was one time they were playing Monopoly, and one of the fellows was losing big. So he takes out his wallet, and he starts putting down real money. He ran out of his Monopoly money. Put down a few $1,000s. Okay, when you start putting down the real stuff, that is a problem. But pocket change, what is called pocket change today? $20, I would imagine, up to $20 for sure.
The Atlantis and Michael Jordan, the basketball player, was there. He was playing blackjack, $10,000 a hit.
For him, it's pocket change, $10,000, okay? For the average person, these type of things, it's mutter. We're dealing over here where you're dealing the real deal. People go to casinos. These are trained professionals who know how to play, and they go there to play. They go there. And one of these guys comes into your shul and says, Rabbi, I'm dedicating a new Aron HaKodesh for the shul. Where do you have this kind of money? Just came back from Atlantic City. Okay? No, you're not. You're actually not allowed to take that money.
An Orthodox Jew, he wins the lottery. All right. He's going to lose his zechuyot. Okay.
All right, we'll continue tomorrow.
If someone wins, make it a Jew, he's going to get from his zechuyot.
I don't know how it works. I don't know.
Could you move in? Because I can't do this.
What happened?
Once a rabbi governed to Hashem, he got the neck of the chair right there, and it was good.
Yeah, take it back.
And after that, he said that,
we don't have to worry about this. We do not have to worry about this. Who gets the Mazel Tov?
He does.
Who? You get Mazel Tov?
Somebody called out Mazel Tov.
Mazel Tov, twin granddaughters.
Mazel Tov, twin granddaughters. Wow.
Twins.
Wow, Mazel Tov. To who? To your daughter? To your son?
That's my wife's grandson.
Your wife?
And he has,
twins. Twin girls. Twin girls. Okay, Mazel Tov. The more the better.
Amen.
This is not gambling when you don't know.
Not an asshole. You're American. You're senor. We speak American language. Spanish.
Okay,
Nothing to everybody.
Make sure it says Aleph. Did you say Aleph? What did he say? Let me see. So I'll tell you the number. It'll be a different page. Let me just switch the page. Give me a moment. We are in the middle of Kuf Samach Dalet.
So it'll still be the same in the Kuf Samach Dalet.
Kuf Samach Dalet. Kuf Chaf. Kuf Samach Dalet.
I know, coming late, I was missing the precipitated this discussion about gambling. Was the Micha's getting money from some corrupt
law? Viesh.
Make sure your phones are off.
Yeah. Everything on silent. Also, don't read the newspaper.
Okay, let's begin. Kuf Samach Dalet. Oh, I'm sorry. We are in the middle. I'm sorry, in the middle of page. Kuf Nun Beis. We are on page.